Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Sometimes this is a thankless job. But you know what? Every day I'm here for you guys. I don't do this for myself. I do this for y'all. Let me tell you a story. There was a baseball team that was lost. There was a baseball team that could not find its way. And little old me, just trying to be a humble servant, decided to have a psychic on the show so we could get some more information and change the chakra and aura around the Kansas City Royals because you were down. And I was met with a lot of skepticism. I was met with a lot of disbelief. But you know what this show does? It stays the course. It doesn't look left or look right. We continue to move straight ahead. I want to play for you what the psychic had to say as we kick off today's show. And trust me, I have thoughts. I have commentary about these past 3 days for the Kansas City Royals. And I am willing to say what you are afraid to say. The Royals are going to the postseason.
Oh, Carrington, don't jinx it. Oh, how do you know?
You want to know how I know? The psychic told me. Listen to this from a couple days ago.
We'll know by Thursday because everything shifts on Thursday. I think 4th, 5th inning tonight.
That's good. You want to know why that's good? Mm. Because their series against the Nationals, guess when it ends?
It ends on Thursday.
Yeah, just some research.
That noon game will tell it all.
It is on
4th and 5th inning will tell everything tonight. Tomorrow, it will be the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th inning, and then at the end of the game. But it's the noon game in Washington, D.C.
Can I tell you guys what we learned today? The Royals' magic number is 2. Could be 1, depending on what happens tonight with the Minnesota Twins. Lucas Erceg, since we had the psychic come in studio, Lucas Erceg pitched 3 consecutive days for the first time in his career. You want to know what Lucas Erceg did? 3 innings, no hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts. Never before in his career, in his life. Kansas City, I don't need a thank you. I don't need an apology. I need you to say it with me. The Royals are going to the postseason. I want you to put that positive energy out into the world, and I want you to believe it like this show believes it. Their pitching this series was incredible. The last 2 days, they have gotten timely hitting. The tide is turning for the Royals. Optimism and hope is back. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do something that we only do during football season. If you call up today, 913-586-7965, and you want to talk Royals, I'm taking your phone call the rest of the way. We'll talk about the Chiefs. You guys tell me these regular season games don't matter anyway. Who cares what happens on Sunday? We don't know if Justin Herbert's going to play. We can't name any receiver on the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm sure everything will be fine. We're talking Royals the rest of the way on this show. It's playoff time here in Kansas City. The Royals are going. So I don't want this to catch you off guard. Go ahead and tell your boss that you're not going to be in on Tuesday because you're going to be somewhere having a drink at 1 o'clock watching the Royals play playoff baseball. You know they're not getting a night game. I don't want this to sneak up on you. I don't want this to catch you off guard. The Royals are going to the postseason. Say it with me now. If you want to text in, I'll read it. If you want to call, we'll take it. We're talking Royals the rest of the day. If you want Chiefs, come back tomorrow. It's week 4. They'll be fine. Text line 913-586-7965. Finally, CDOT, something we agree on. Go Royals. Exactly. Exactly. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike, you called into the drive today. How are you doing, Mike? Are you a believer? Are they going to the postseason?
Man, I am forever Royal. We are going to the postseason.
Thank you. I like hearing that, Mike.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, CDOT, I have been on your text line saying since probably 45 days ago saying that we are going to the playoffs, and Lucas Erceg has been an amazing guy for us.
Mike, you're 100% true, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Lucas Erceg is the biggest reason why they won this series this weekend. Three innings, no hits, no runs, no walks over these 3 days. First time in his career, he pitched three consecutive days. He earned a save in all three of the games. The bullpen went from being their biggest Achilles heel for most of the season. Right now, their bullpen is one of their absolute biggest strengths. At least it has been. Some of it is addition by subtraction. They have gotten some of the rotten eggs out of the bullpen. But their bullpen has been really, really strong. And their pitching has held up over the course of the last 3 weeks when the offense wasn't there. And the offense was not there for the last 10 days or so. Their offense is regressing a little bit to the mean. And if they can hold on to this pitching, I still believe they can beat Baltimore. Now, Houston, that's a different issue. Let's see what the Tigers do over the next couple of days. The White Sox are actually kind of frisky right now. A little frisky. But the Royals, this pitching works. You can do something with this pitching. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to head to Detroit and learn more about the Tigers as they have been absolutely on fire for the last 3 weeks or so. Let's continue to take your phone calls. If you call up and Rob puts you on hold, we are taking your Royals phone calls the rest of the day. Keith, you called into the drive. How are you doing today, Keith?
Good. I'm good, CDOT. I just wanted to call in and say, let's go Royals. I think that I've been all year saying we're going to the playoffs. It's time to get hot. It looks like we're getting hot. And let's go. Put some hitting with you. We might be able to do something in the playoffs.
Thank you, Keith. I'm with you. If they can get good Salvador Perez, they got a shot. Salvi was, what, 0-12? Got his first RBI in this series in the third game. Had a couple of hits today. If they can get Salvi back and this offense can be carried by Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez and you piece it together and they get one other unsung hero type, who knows what the postseason can bring? Dave, you calling us to the drive. Hey, Dave, how you doing, man?
Doing good, CDOT. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
I'm going to give you your props, bro. Remember Tuesday when you talked to the quarterback and you asked him what he thought the Royals had to do and he gave that little pep talk? They ain't lost since, bro. Thanks for doing your job and getting the quarterback involved. I'll listen off the air. Go Royals.
Thank you, Dave. More people need to acknowledge my contribution in all of this, that this show has held the Royals together single-handedly. While so many other people in this city, Rob, have tried to tear down the Royals, this city, this show, has tried to challenge you to go to the games, to challenge you to continue to believe and buy in. When things were looking lost, we brought in a psychic. We called in a higher power to try to help the Royals. Thank you, Dave, for acknowledging that. Dave, you know what? Call back. We'll give you a pizza. Dave, call back right now, 913-586-7965. For your acknowledgement, I want to make sure you get a pizza. Thank you. I appreciate you. Coming up, we're going to head to Detroit. If you're on hold, stay there. Rob will take your call. We will put you on hold. We will be talking to Royals the rest of the day. Tomorrow, we will go back to talking about the Chiefs. But I believe the Royals are going to the postseason. We are celebrating that on this show. It's The Drive. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Johnny Kane. He works for Bally Sports Detroit. Let's talk and learn a little bit more about the Tigers, who have been hot, hot, hot of late. Johnny, man, happy to have you on the show today, man. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you, man.
Absolutely, man. Long time no talk, man. Let's start with this. The Tigers were 10 games back of the Royals, I believe, in the middle of August, and they have turned into the hottest team in baseball. What has changed for the Tigers?
Yeah, dude, August 10th to be exact, 10 games out of it. And you go back to, you know, when the wild card era began back in 94, like no team has ever made the postseason. And there were a lot of, obviously, people that wrote off the Tigers. But I don't know, man. It's hard to, like, encapsulate exactly, you know. Like, there is a true team concept where you don't have one guy that has to carry – you know, any more of his share. Like, obviously, Riley Green leads this team in homers, average, in RBIs, and Terry Skubal, obviously, you know, could be the unanimous Cy Young. So those are two elite-level players. But on a day-to-day, it's not like they're just riding their coattails. You know, it's this collective unit of guys that are maximizing their potential at the right time. And I think back to, like, back when I used to cover Kansas City, you know, I think back to how special that run was in 2014. And – you know, you had those young guys that came up through the system. Yes, they added a couple nice pieces in free agency, but when you talk about some of the younger players that were coming into their own, like Hosmer, Moose, Lorenzo Cain, like those guys got going at the right time, and then they caught fire. And that's like what this team is doing. Like the third youngest team in baseball, and they just collectively, you know, passed the baton onto the next guy. And like some people would say it was unsustainable, but you know, you go back over the last 41 games, they're 31-19. I mean, that's how you get it done. And then you just continue, to show up every day. You wipe the slate clean. It's a brand new canvas. And then you go back to doing exactly what you did the day before. So it's been an incredible run, man. I'll be honest with you. It's as much fun covering baseball as I've ever had. And I've been covering baseball for 19 years.
I was just going to ask you, do you see the similarities between this Tigers team and the 14 Royals, that the Royals in the middle of August just got hot kind of out of nowhere and no one wanted to play them in the postseason? They eventually rode that wave all the way to the World Series. Obviously, the story is being written right now for the Detroit Tigers, but I wouldn't want to play them if I was Houston, the Yankees, or the Guardians.
Yeah, and that's kind of it, right? So everybody says you got to get hot at the right time, but how do you time that? Like, I'm a big horse racing guy, you know, and when you see a horse, say you've got a horse you bet on, when he makes his move and he makes it too early and then he gets out kicked in the home stretch, it's like, oh, man, we mistimed it, right? Didn't have a good ride, ran out of gas. You got to try to time those runs, just like Kansas City did in 2014. And when they got hot, they got hot. And if you go back to the wild card game against the A's, you know, they're down four with six outs to go, and then they continue to get hot. And then you sweep your way through the DSCS and then go to seven games against the Giants. Now, they ultimately didn't get it done with the tying run 90 feet away, but they timed it right. And so the Tigers have somehow, it wasn't like by strategy where you said, okay, hey, on August 10th or August 11th, let's turn it on now. But they've timed this run right now where you see other teams coming back to the pack, and this lead horse right now is the one that nobody wants to face. So can it continue to go? Why not, right? I mean, as AJ Hinch said, I don't like to call it a run. Like, I don't want to call it like, hey, you guys are having a nice little streak, because streaks come to an end. Runs come to an end. He said, this is just the way we play. And I don't think anybody wants this to come to an end. So if that's the belief, right, it's not like, hey, we're playing out of our minds and at some point we're going to come back to earth. They've been doing it for 6 weeks, right? So at some point you say, this is who we are. And then when you wake up every morning, it's not as if you're having an out-of-body experience. It's like, hey, this is who we thought we were. And now the rest of the league says, okay, this is who the Tigers are.
Right now, we're talking to Johnny Cain for a couple more minutes here. He works for Bally Sports in Detroit. This is how I've been looking at it, Johnny, and I'm curious to get your perspective. I don't think the Royals are competing with the Tigers. They are way too hot right now. They have three games left against the White Sox. The Tigers are making the postseason. Right now for the Royals, the question is, are you going to be better than the Mariners and the Twins? It's those teams fighting for those last couple of spots. But the Tigers, just given how hot they've been and their schedule, I just don't see them outright missing the postseason.
Yeah, I think that would be improbable now at this point, which is wild to consider, again, considering all the things we talked about when they were counted out. But there's a reason they play 162, and obviously both Kansas City and Detroit, you know, really good spots. I mean, I think if you had anybody call in from Minnesota or Seattle, they'd say, hey, I'd trade places with you in a heartbeat. So even though the Royals haven't been playing their best baseball, obviously, you know, big win today, you know, you're still in it. So get to the dance and then let's see. Like, I think they still are who they are, right? And over the course of the entire season, they've been a better ball club than have the Tigers. But over the last 6 weeks, you would say otherwise. So now just get to the dance. You know how that works. Like, just get there and then let's see how it goes. Minnesota, I think, is coming back to the pack. Like, they might have gassed themselves out, right? and Seattle obviously needs a lot of things to happen. Well, I'll be watching that, obviously, the Minnesota-Miami game tonight because the Tigers' magic number is 2, same with Kansas City, and we'll see what the Twins are able to do because if they continue to slide, the more they slide, the better that obviously impacts the Tigers' chances of getting in.
What is your perception of the Minnesota Twins? That's a team that obviously we are very familiar with in this division. I've seen them a lot. You've seen them a lot as well. They have had a tremendous slide over the course of the last 3-4 weeks or so. What have you seen with this Twins team that has caused them to take this much of a stumble?
I don't know, man. And that's the tough thing to pinpoint. You know, like I don't watch them every day as intently. I still think they're a good ball club, but it's like when you go through these ebbs and flows of a season, like you can't be, you know, this is now not the time to be dipping, you know? And so then that puts a strain on everybody. And I hate to use cliches, but when it says, you know, guys are trying to do too much or the manager is going to get some heat, the reality is it's a results-based business. And I think these guys aren't coming to the ballpark playing freely, right? Because once there's expectation, you say, okay, you know, hey, we're expected to be here. Or when you lock up a guy like Carlos Correa, it's like, okay, well, this is what we need to do. These are the projections. And then you start playing tight, right? And then guys are trying to perform up to an expectation rather than allowing the results to come naturally. I think when you look at a team like Detroit where you say, okay, what are the expectations? Well, there aren't any. Okay, so just go play free, have a little fun while you're out there, and do the fundamental things right, like do the routine things well. And I think that's the difference in the styles, like the brand of baseball that we're watching. So it's a much more enjoyable brand to watch, but I can't pinpoint what it is for Minnesota. And I do feel for those guys because, see, that, like, you know, you've seen it too, man. You've covered Royals baseball for a long time. Like sometimes when it's not working and then you start reaching for why it's not working, sometimes it just doesn't work, right? I mean, sometimes it's the construct of a team. Sometimes it's just you just aren't playing your best ball at certain times, and it's more of a broad brush of, hey, we're just not playing good ball. Why? X, Y, and Z, you know? I don't think it's easy to pinpoint, but they got to figure it out. And right now the sand in the hourglass is running out.
Last question here for Johnny Cane. He covers the Detroit Tigers. They have been the hottest team in baseball for the last couple of weeks. They are in contention with the Royals for one of the wild card spots. It's been their biggest nemesis, I would say, over the last 3-4 weeks or so. At least on this show, I want the Royals to play the Orioles. I do not like their chances against Houston. We're talking about a team that has been to the postseason in 7 years with the Royals offense. I don't want anything to do with the Astros. I'm wondering from you guys' side, do you care who you play in the postseason or with this run that the Tigers have been on, you guys will take any opponent that is in front of you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, again, you kind of let all that stuff play out, and then once you start trying to pick an opponent, like, you know, at first it's like, hey, man, we're not supposed to get in, and then you get in, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, I think we match up better here. If every team, if you put on alert every team that's out there, like, I think New York's really good. Like, I do. I think the Orioles, like, we've taken 5 out of 6. We faced them twice, you know, in the last 2 weeks. So it's like once you have their attention, it's like put the pressure on the opponent and don't necessarily worry about, you know, where you match up better. Let them worry about how they match up against you. So, you know, get in. Like, for the Tigers, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2014. And if you remember back then when Kansas City went on its run, you know, the Orioles swept that Tiger team, and that Tiger team was stacked, especially from a pitching standpoint, right? That was Scherzer, Verlander, Porcello. And the Royals didn't, you know, they hadn't played the Tigers that well all season long in the division. And then all of a sudden, the Orioles swept the Tigers out of it, so the Royals ended up getting matched up with Baltimore, and then they swept Baltimore. And there was that unbelievable line from Gerard Dyson, I remember, after the Royals had taken the first 2 in Baltimore. And I forget who it was for the Orioles, but he said, yeah, we just got to go to Kansas City, you know, win 3 games and come back here and finish it at home. And Gerard said, I don't believe that, and I don't think they do either, right? But he said the right thing, and they ended up sweeping them. So, again, I think the Tigers have put the rest of the league on notice, and I think as long as they say, we don't want to face you, the Tigers will say, okay, we'll play whoever we get.
That is our guy, Johnny Cane, joining us on the show today. He's with Bally Sports of Detroit. He is covering the hottest team in baseball. Johnny, man, it's been fun to watch your journey over the last decade or so. You've done great stuff with the Lions, with the Pistons, and now you're covering the hottest team in baseball, man. I hope that you guys have a tremendous postseason run, man.
I appreciate it, brother, and continued success to you as well, man. Life's a blessing.
Absolutely. That is Johnny Cane joining us on the show today. He used to be here in Kansas City. He now went back home to Detroit, and he covers all things Detroit.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, back in on the Drive. This is my promise to you. We are going to have Josh Vernier on the show. I'm going to move his appearance to today as opposed to Friday. We'll get back to football tomorrow. We're going to take a trip to Minnesota coming up in about 10 minutes. I want to talk to you guys. 913-586-7965. If you would like to call in and talk Royals, we will take your phone call. So pick up the phone. You want to talk a little Royals? We are happy to do that. We have been talking a lot about Lucas Erceg today, and Lucas Erceg is, in my opinion, the biggest reason of how they won this series and how I think you can have hope about this team going into the postseason. I can give you guys the starting pitching numbers because starting pitching wise, they have gotten quality starts for a while. But the bullpen has remained a question for this team. Lucas Erceg, at least on the back half of it. Now, you got to get to a save opportunity, but Lucas Erceg pitched three consecutive days for the first time in his career. He got a save in all three of these games against the Nationals. He pitched three innings, zero hits, zero earned runs, did not walk a batter, and had four strikeouts this weekend. There was a text that we got earlier, and I told the person that we were going to talk about this. Let me go ahead and find it. 913-586-7965. All right, I found it. C-Dot, can you talk about the thinking behind using Lucas Erceg to pitch three games in a row? Bubich could have easily gone another inning tonight and kept Erceg fresh for Atlanta. But then again, I am not a baseball manager. Make the postseason. If the Royals clinch this thing tomorrow on a Friday, you know what Saturday and Sunday are? Light days. Erceg doesn't pitch on Saturday. He doesn't pitch on Sunday. You have an off day on Monday as a travel day so you can head to wherever you're going to be for the wild card, and then you go from there. Right now, Lucas Erceg is the person that I trust the most here. So if the Royals, so today they have a two-game lead. If the Twins lose today, it can be one game. The Royals can clinch a playoff spot tomorrow. That is all I'm worried about if I'm Matt Cotraro, if I am this organization. Let's make the postseason, and then we can deal with the rest days. We can give Erceg 2-3 days in between, and we can have him ready for the postseason. But you got to get into the dance. And I am happy, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Rob, before we go to the phone lines. I am happy that their manager was managing like these were postseason games because that is exactly what they were. You could not afford to lose these games. You're going up against this team, this opponent, a team that has nothing to play for, and your offense has been struggling. We got to take every single advantage that we have. And right now, one of their biggest advantages that they have is Lucas Erceg. So you got to use him here. Now, I don't know what that means for the Royals next week. I don't know what that means for the Royals in 2 weeks, but I know you had to take care of business this week to unlock next week, which could hopefully help you unlock 2 weeks from now. So I don't have any problem with the way that they use Lucas Erceg. I would use him again tomorrow if you got to. If you are in a position where you can make the playoffs tomorrow, you use Erceg for a fourth consecutive day, and then you can give him 3 days off, and hopefully he's fresh for Tuesday. Maybe you don't even need him on Tuesday against whomever you play. But right now, you got to take care of what you can take care of. And you are not in the postseason. You are on the doorstep. You are 98% there, 99% there. You maybe have to win one more game to ensure that you make the postseason.
I think it goes beyond just Erceg. I'm going to credit Q. He managed today's game and, honestly, Tuesday's game like they were postseason games. Not just Erceg on 3 days rest, on three straight days, excuse me. He was aggressive. I'm bringing in a lefty early in the ninth inning, MJ Melendez, a guy that's been much maligned. I trust him. Hey, it's righty-lefty, it's the ninth inning, it's a tie game, here we go. Okay, he got on base. Pinch runner, boom, immediately. Steal second, calls for the delay steal. A situation they haven't used much this year. Doesn't matter. We're pulling all the bag of tricks out. It doesn't matter. It's the Nationals. Today is must win. Whether they saw the Detroit score on the scoreboard or not, it doesn't matter. They were all in on winning today. And with now three games left and postseason baseball, that is the energy you need. You need to treat every day like it is do or die, which is why Vern, to his credit, all the time on the pre- and post-game show, talks about how baseball has two seasons. There's baseball season, which is the marathon, and then there's the sprint. I don't know if the Royals are going to make any noise in the postseason if and when they make it, but I know this. It appears, based on this series against the Nats, and we can see it maybe in the future series against the Braves, Matty Q is managing like every day is do or die, and that's what you want to see in October, because it's not, hey, we'll live to fight another day. Go get him tomorrow. Baseball's only as good as your next day starter. Today could be your last day, so credit to him.
Another point I think that's very important in this conversation is Lucas Ursek pitched 35 pitches the last couple of days. It would be different if one of those you thought was a strain and he gave you 25 pitches on one of those days and you felt like he was overworked. He's thrown 35 pitches over the last 3 days. So maybe you don't need him tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the weather is not holding up in Atlanta. I'm not even sure if the Royals are going to play tomorrow. But you got to take care of business today and worry about tomorrow tomorrow. Let's go to the phone lines. If Rob puts you on hold, we will take your phone calls, 913-586-7965. We're also going to head to Minnesota here coming up in a bit. There are only three teams alive for the wild card aside from Baltimore. It is the Tigers, the Royals, and the Twins. We've already been to Detroit. We're going to head to Minnesota here coming up in a bit. Let's go to the phone line. Stephanie called into the show. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing today?
Hi. I say I'm not just saying we're going to postseason. I say we're going to the World Series. I want to see another World Series win.
You know what, Stephanie? I love your optimism and hopefulness. You know what? I appreciate you calling in today. I appreciate you, Stephanie. That's a step too far that I'm willing to go right now. But you know what? I love the hopefulness. I love the optimism. I don't know if you can get a dynasty with the Chiefs and another World Series with the Royals. You got to pick one. I don't know if the sports guys are going to give you both. It's a little selfish. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brandon, you called into the show. How you doing today, Brandon?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I want to shout out you, Carrington, man. You connected, man. So I appreciate you getting a Bally Sports Detroit guy on the radio. I am born and raised from Detroit, and I live in the Kansas City area with work, and it's crazy. It was like we were stuck. We're on the Mamba. I'm a Tigers fan, and we're on the Mamba ride, and we're stuck at the top. And I don't want to fall down off the Mamba. I don't want to go down this 100-foot drop. So it's amazing, man. Just a blink of an eye, you can miss it, man. All-star game. I'm like, we're trying to sell everything. Scooble's on the trade block. Like, we're sellers. I'm like, man, please don't trade Scooble. And it's dope to know that all we got to do is beat the White Sox a couple times, maybe one time. Who knows what the Twins are doing? It is, they're falling, and it sucks to be them. But as a Lions, Tigers, I guess you can say when the Lions suck, I used to root for the Chiefs because our season was done by week six. We're 1-6 with Matt Patricia. So I listen to y'all every day, man. I love what y'all doing. I can hear y'all more clear because I switched to 96 to 5 fan. And, man, it's crazy. It's good vibes, man. I appreciate everything y'all doing. I just wanted to stop by and say that, man.
You know what, Brandon, man? I appreciate you, man. Good luck to your Lions this year, man. Thank you, man. We appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you saying I'm connected. I'm not just connected in Detroit with my man Johnny Cain. We were connected to a higher power. We had a psychic on the show a couple days ago. He told you guys what was going to happen.
We'll know by Thursday. Because everything shifts on Thursday. I think 4th, 5th inning tonight.
That's good. You want to know why that's good? Mm. Because their series against the Nationals, guess when it ends?
It ends on Thursday.
It ends on Thursday.
Yeah, do some research. That noon game will tell it all.
It ends on
4th
Thursday.
4th and 5th inning will tell everything tonight. Tomorrow, it will be the 2nd and 3rd and 4th inning, and then at the end of the game. But it's the noon game in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Connected to a higher power, man. You guys laughed at me, mocked this show for having him on here. He came on here and told us exactly what was going to happen. We might have him back. Might have him back. Let's go back to the phone lines. Showtime, Casey, you called into the show, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Carrington. Big Bob and the boys are playing some ball, C-Dot. And how about the bullpen, especially my guy, Lights Out, Lucas Irsay. And shout out to my guy, Lights Out, Lucas Irsay, getting it done in the ninth inning. Keep it going. Let's go Royals. Shout out to all my Royals fans out there. Showtime Kansas City, I'm out.
Showtime KC, man, we appreciate you. We love the excitement, man. We got Dan Hayes. He is covering the Minnesota Twins. Dan, I'm going to guess that you guys aren't that excited in Minnesota right now, especially with how you guys have been playing of late.
Hey, you know, they've been wearing this for about 6 weeks now, because 6 weeks ago they were 17 over 500 and things looked great, and they had that game they blew in Texas. They were going to sweep a four-game series from the Rangers. Had a 4-0 lead with Pablo Lopez on the mound. The bullpen came in and coughed it up, and gone downhill since. I think they're 12-23 since that point. And at this point, basically, you have to hope for some real help from the Atlanta Braves and take care of your own end. And that's certainly not a position they envision themselves being in whatsoever. But, I mean, it's their reality, and certainly they are trying to deal with it. But, yeah, there's an air of uneasiness without question.
I mean, you guys have basically been the opposite of the Tigers. The Tigers have been the hottest team in baseball since the middle of August. You guys are on the opposite end of the spectrum. You just mentioned how many games they were over 500. What happened with Minnesota? What's fallen apart? With the Royals, you can kind of pinpoint it back to the injury with Vinny Pasquantino, certainly when this offense took a change. What was the change with Minnesota?
Well, August 7th, Joe Ryan went down. That meant they had three rookies in the rotation, none of whom is really somebody they trust going more than five innings, and they've all reached career innings pitch limits because basically all of them had never touched the majors before this year. Simeon Woods Richardson, David Festa, and Zebby Matthews, who debuted against the Royals a week later there. You know, that's one thing. Having Carlos Correa out for 53 games was massive. I think they really missed his voice and just in the clubhouse and guiding young players. And I think that, you know, the weight of this fell on an offense that was young and trying to deal with it for the first time, and they've slumped. You can look at a lot of guys, Royce Lewis, Jose Miranda. When we're around the All-Star break, early July, these were some of the hottest hitters in baseball. At one point, I think it was July 5th, the Twins were the fifth highest scoring offense in baseball. Since then, since August 12th, I think that's the day that Byron Buxton went out with a hip inflammation. He missed 28 games at that point. Their offense went dormant. Last night, they hit their first home run in 8 days. You know, they just haven't been a powerful bunch the way they had been early in the season. And they're just, you know, everything has fallen apart at once. Not enough pitching, not enough offense. Defense has been shoddy at times. And the bullpen just got tired. And I think when you have those kind of issues all surface at the same time, anybody's going to run into some issues. A team without its best players, Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa, is going to really struggle with those issues.
Right now we're talking to Dan Hayes. He covers the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. Dan, can you give us a fan check right now? What's the temperature? As you would guess, Royals fans were pretty down on this team after the weekend. They scored one run in the series against the San Francisco Giants, but the Nationals were on the schedule. The Royals sweep that series, and now fans are hopeful and optimistic again. Their magic number could be one today, depending on the result of the game that you're going to be at. Where are Twins fans right now? What's the temperature of that fan base?
They are ecstatic that Sam Darnold and the Vikings are 3-0. That's what the temperature of the Twins fan base is right now. I think that a lot of people are, you know, it's been a tough year. The team was coming off that amazing year last year. They cut payroll by $30 million. Ownership really kind of dropped the ball there. I think fans were really disgruntled going into the season. They started 7-13. You know, they got hot. Fans were sort of getting back on board. Attendance was going up, but I think they're back at disgruntled and tuning them out. And again, the Vikings are 3-0. The Timberwolves are about to start here in, you know, the next month. I think that people are just sort of getting ready for that next wave of sports and more excited about that. And that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, the trade deadline was disappointing for the Twins. They didn't add any player on the waiver wire. You know, I mean, a guy like Tommy Pham, just adding him because they had waiver priority over Kansas City at the time. Adding him would have been a move. The Twins, you know, just something to fire fans up. They haven't done a very good job of that this year. And I think it's really carried over because there's a lot of disinterest right now.
Two questions here left for Dan Hayes, who covers the Twins for The Athletic. You guys have one more game against Miami. You guys have three games this weekend against Baltimore. Baltimore also in the playoff picture. What's your level of optimism? What's your hope for the Twins over these next 4 days?
Well, certainly the fact that the Royals won today, I think, puts a little damper on it. I'd put it about Kansas City at 75%, the Twins at 25%. I mean, look, the Braves, like, that's a tough place to play. It's going to be, you know, interesting weather conditions with the hurricane rolling through and the remnants of the hurricane rolling through. The Twins absolutely need to basically run the table here, and they need to hope that Baltimore is just setting themselves up for that postseason appearance next week, and more worried about that than what they do this weekend. And mailing it in, and the Braves play the Royals tough, because at this point, I don't, you know, technically, yes, I guess the White Sox are the hottest team in baseball, having swept the Angels, but I don't think they're going to beat the Tigers once, let alone twice. And, you know, a sweep is probably not on the table there either, unless Detroit's sweeping. So really, the Twins are big Atlanta Braves fans, and hoping that they can take what they got last night and build off of it.
Dan, I'm not getting a lot of sense of hope and optimism from you right now. That's not the vibe that I'm getting. When I was talking to Johnny Cane from the Tigers, it was so much hope, optimism, which makes sense. They've been winning. You sound kind of beat down by how they played the last couple of weeks.
You know, I mean, like, you just see, like, this team's been beat up all year. I mean, the rotation problem was, or the rotation plan was flawed going into the season. You knew that the pitching could be a problem. It has been a problem for this team. And the tough part is that, you know, against Kansas or against Cleveland last week, the Twins, they lost 3-1 run games. Two were walk-offs or last at bat wins for Cleveland. It's tough when they had that kind of gut punch, and then they came back and had a great win on Friday in Boston. Got rained out on Saturday in Boston, and went into the doubleheader on Sunday with Pablo Lopez pitching in one of the games and with Zebby Matthews, and they lost. They were outscored 17-3. You know, in arguably their biggest day of the season, and they fall that up by losing to the Marlins on Tuesday night. It's just, it's been 6 weeks of this team can't put together two good days at any point. And so you get that sense that it's really going to be hard for them to do this. Do I think it's possible? Of course. Carlos Correa, even though he's probably playing on one leg, he's probably playing about 60%. Byron Buxton's probably 75% right now. They're playing some Herculean baseball right now. The two of them are incredible. Buxton homered last night, was his 100th game. It's only the second time in his career he's played 100 games, but they just haven't had enough contributions from other guys on the roster. I think a lot of the other guys are low in gas, and you can sense it. I mean, there's a lot of effort. You can see that part. They're just not getting results, and they definitely are feeling it.
That is our guy Dan Hayes joining us on the show today. Dan, I will say this. I love talking to you, but if we talk to you again, something went terribly wrong for the Royals.
I know. It's funny, when I left my house yesterday, because I live in Chicago, I commute to Minnesota, I took an extra bunch of clothes, and I told my wife, I was like, you know, it's probably going to be 7 days, but maybe I'll see you in a month. And she laughed. She's like, yeah, right, I'll see you next week. So it's kind of is what it is at this point for the Twins.
That is Dan Hayes joining us on the show. Dan, I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That is Dan Hayes joining us on the show. I'm sorry. That was funny. Royals fans, you cannot be worried about that team we just heard. That's their beat writer. He watches them every day. You could not have heard them be like, I don't know, man. I'm worried about that team. That sounds like a team that can't wait to go on vacation. That sounds like a team to me that cannot wait for this season to be over. Rob, is that the vibe that you got? This is the guy who watches them every single day. He's on every trip. He knows this team. He's telling you this season is cooked, done.
Can you imagine?
He gave me no reason to feel hopeful about the Minnesota Twins. None.
Can you imagine if Nate Taylor came on this show and was like, I don't know, guys, it's over. They just, sorry, I got nothing left for you. It's been a disaster for 6 weeks. I know it's baseball and football are different, but Dan Hayes is basically the Nate Taylor of the Twins, and he's like, yeah, I get to go back to Chicago in 7 days because the season's over.
That story about his wife was funny, man. Let me go back to the phone lines. 913-586-7965. Justine, you called into the show. How you doing, Justine?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Happy to have you calling today.
It's a good day to be a Kansas City Royals fan.
For sure.
So I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if there's any tickets left, but if you haven't gotten your postseason tickets, say you went on sale yesterday and I secured game one of the ADLS. So we're just hoping to get through that wild card and I'll get to see some October baseball at Kauffman. And so if you haven't had a chance, check it out and see if there's any extra tickets still available. Got them face value, so not too pricey at this point.
You know what, Justine? Thank you so much for telling people that. You know what, that's the kind of hopefulness and optimism I need. I put my money where my mouth is. I already got my seats, she said. I got my tickets. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Are they going to give you your money back if they don't make it? Because, you know, I can see the Royals trying to be on some funny, oh, hey, you can roll it over to next season. I can see it being some tomfoolery with them. I don't know, but that's just a guess of mine. I can see it being some shenanigans with them. Oh, hey, we're going to give you a credit for opening day. Nah, that's not what I want. Give my money back. All right, we're going to take more of your calls, 913-586-7965. If you call, Rob puts you on hold. We will take your call. Vern's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. We're talking baseball the rest of the way. If you're upset that we're not going through Chiefs hypotheticals, tomorrow we will do that. They're 8-point favorites over the Chargers. You guys hate the Chargers anyway. Tomorrow I'll pick the Chargers to win. You'll be mad? Well, balance will be restored tomorrow on the show. But today, we celebrate the Royals as they are two games away from the postseason. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. We are going to head to Josh Vernier coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We are talking all Royals the rest of the day. If you are sad that we are not talking about the Chiefs, trust me, we will get back to the Chiefs tomorrow on a Red Friday. I am a little bit disappointed that we didn't get more of an opportunity to talk about this, where Richard Sherman called Trevor Lawrence a knockoff Gardner Minshew.
At $55 million, benefit of the doubt is gone. We're putting it on you. Wins and losses are on your back. It's unfair responsibility, but that's what you're getting paid. Your paycheck says, hey, responsibility.
That's what the money is for.
I'm going to give you Gardner Minshew's stats. Gardner Minshew's record is 16-24. That's a 40% winning percentage. Completed 63% of his passes, 62 touchdowns, 27 interceptions, a 90.3 quarterback rating, 18 fumbles lost. And we're going to go through Trevor Lawrence's record. 20-33, 37.7% winning percentage, 63.2 completion percentage, 60 touchdowns, 40 interceptions, 84.5 passer rating, 21 fumbles lost. People are going to call me crazy because he was labeled a generational talent coming out because he's handsome. He has the long hair. He looks the part. He's just a name brand Gardner Minshew. For what they're getting right now out of Trevor Lawrence, they could have kept Gardner Minshew and they would have got at least equal level play.
Hey, man, if you call me name brand Gardner Minshew, I got to find you and we got to get into a physical confrontation, man. We got to fight. I'm serious. I am happy that everybody else is coming to the same side that I've been on for Trevor Lawrence for 5 years. It took a while, and sometimes things take time. Sometimes you got to go out and experience it for yourself, and then you see for yourself. I've been telling you that Trevor Lawrence was fraudulent for years, and you guys blamed everybody else. Oh, it was Urban Meyer. Oh, it was no, it's him. He's the problem. I've been telling you. I wish we had more time to get into that, but you know, we're not doing that today. We're only talking Royals. I just had to play that. So, I mean, come on now. Somebody making that kind of comparison, that's what this show is known for. A name brand Gardner Minshew. That's not good. That's not good at all. Mike, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say I appreciate the job that you guys do. Your analyst of how the Royals are going has been spot on, I think. I really liked it when you brought on the psychic. And I thought that was pretty funny. I want to make sure you touch all the bases, though. I think you should call the Kansas City St. Joseph Diocese and see if you can get the bishop to put a special blessing on the Royals, because God knows they're going to need it.
You know, Mike, that's a great idea, Mike. I appreciate that. We might have to bring somebody in next Tuesday to put a blessing over the Royals. And we might have to do that. That's a really good idea, Mike. Thank you. We already looked into the future to tell you how things were going to go. So we need to, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Mike, for that. I really do appreciate that. Seriously, I really do. I'm very happy to get Vern's opinion on this coming up in a bit, to hear what he thinks about the Royals and where we are and where we currently sit in the magic number. I'm really happy to catch up with him. I do want to talk about this before we do this. I understand that it has gotten lost in the middle of all the pitch, of all the hitting woes that the Royals have had. They have gotten incredible starting pitching over the course of the last couple of weeks and would not be in this position where they were able to hold on if it wasn't for their starting pitching. Whether it was Cole Reagans, whether it was Michael Lorenzen who went out there, and I know he left early, but even when he came out, they have held up. Their pitching in September, when they really needed it, has tried to keep them afloat. And shockingly enough, when the Royals could put up a couple of runs, they were able to hold on and win. So whether it was starting pitching-wise, their bullpen has actually been pretty good. Rob, you want to know when their bullpen turned the corner? When they got James MacArthur out of it. That's kind of when you start to see a little bit of a return. They got rid of some of the bad eggs in the second half of the season, and they've kind of tightened this thing up. I think their bullpen, I don't look at their bullpen as a liability heading into the postseason. If Urseg is going to be your closer, you're going to use less starters just because you don't need five starters in the postseason. I actually think they're in a decent spot heading into it. This isn't the 14 or 15 Royals. No one is confusing their bullpen with that. But, I mean, right now, the only question for the Royals heading into the postseason is, can they score enough? I don't have questions about the starting pitching. I don't really have that many questions about the bullpen. The question is going to be if they put up enough runs. Because I think we all can see, hey, if the Royals play a three-game series, you scored three or four runs in that series, you are not going on the road and beating Baltimore. You're not going on the road and beating the Astros if you can't scratch runs across. That's the only question I think you have about the Royals in this series and over the course of the postseason is they're going to have to get hot offensively to really help you dream if they can make a Cinderella dazzling run.
We talked about it. Reagan started on Tuesday. So we talked about it on Wednesday about how the Royals' path to win in the postseason is through starting pitching. And that is the goal. But I think one of the reasons why, again, when they're playing postseason baseball on Tuesday, why fans should have a level of optimism is Reagans and Lugo or Reagans and Waka or Reagans and Singer are games 1 and 2. You feel like you might not have an advantage in both those games, but you're not at a disadvantage. And then you got the bullpen to at least continue to shut teams down. Like today, Waka gave up 4, and then the bullpen was lights out. Yesterday, the bullpen was incredible. And we don't need to talk about Tuesday, where Reagans and the bullpen didn't give up a run. Like, they were nothing short of sensational. So I think what was once a weakness, I don't want to say is a strength now, but I do not believe the bullpen will be the reason the Royals eventually exit the postseason. I think they're going to lose games in the postseason. I don't think this is some magic 14 run. I know today's a day for excitement. I know today's today for we're going to the postseason, all the excitement.
You also got to keep in mind who they beat over the correct last 3 days. I think that's a fair thing. I'm all about being hopeful and being, but I mean, this was the last gimme that they have the rest of the way. This is a team that is done, cooked. You did exactly what you were supposed to do to that team. If you're a playoff team and you need these games, you can't afford to drop one to the Washington Nationals. You had to win all three of those games.
Which the Twins did not do to the Marlins, by the way.
And that's why they're missing the postseason. Exactly. And that's exactly why they're going to miss the postseason. This is where I would, I don't know if I disagree with you, but I would maybe phrase it a little bit differently. I think we have got to the point where their bullpen is not their Achilles heel. Where 2 weeks ago, if I had asked you, what's the Achilles heel of the Royals? I think a majority of people would have answered the bullpen. The bullpen's going to mess things up. You remember, we were asking people, hey, it's 5-3. You're heading into the seventh inning. What's your order? I'm not as worried about that anymore. Are they going to be up 5-3 heading into the seventh inning? They're going to score five runs in one of those games? If they score five runs in any of game one or game two, they have to win. You have to figure out a way to win that game with this offense. Them giving you five runs is a blessing. Is a blessing. So you've got to figure it out if that's the case. Have to. All right, let's step aside here. 913-586-7965. We're going to step aside. Vern's going to be on the other side. We're going to take a final trip to Minnesota. Henry Lake is going to be on the show. We are talking Royals the rest of the way. If you want Chiefs, I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow. We ain't got you today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
New Kansas City in Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome into The Drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-5. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here as well. We are happy, happy to be talking to you after a Royal sweep. Let's head to the phone lines right now. Let's not waste any time. Let's be joined by our guy, Josh Vernier. I wanted to move his appearance to today. Tomorrow, we will get back to football, but today, it is the Royals' day after they win the series against the Washington Nationals. Vern, how you doing, man?
I'm doing terrific. Big win today. Well, you don't want to say almost impossible, but even if the Royals don't win another game, that means the Twins need to go 3-1 down the stretch. That's going to be difficult. It certainly feels as if October is promised for Kansas City.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Let's talk about some of the positive things before we get to the offense. Let's start with the starting pitching. I understand that the offense has kind of sucked up a lot of the oxygen about this team over the last 10 days or so. They got excellent starting pitching this week against the Nationals.
Yeah, and they've received great starting pitching dating back to April. I mean, the blueprint, the formula for the 2024 Kansas City Royals has been well known dating back to April, right? Early on in the season, it was apparent that Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha were bringing more than just stability to this rotation. They were bringing quality performances, quality starts, All-star stuff, Cy Young award-winning stuff in the case of Seth Lugo. Pitching, defense, team speed. You know, we talked about that dating back to April. The question back then was, can they sustain this over the next 5 months? And here we are 5 months later, and the answer is a resounding yes. The rotation, second most innings pitched in Major League Baseball. The ERA just a shade above 3.5. That's the second lowest mark in all of Major League Baseball. Three of the top 10 best ERAs in the American League are Kansas City Royals, with Lugo, sixth lowest, Michael Wacha, 10th, and Cole Reagan's top 8. This team has been led by pitching, defense, and team speed all season long. That's how you got the first two wins in Washington, along with Bobby Witt Jr. just being the best player on the planet. Right? I mean, Cole Reagan, six innings of shutout baseball back on Tuesday. Michael Lorenzen, along with the bullpen, made it work yesterday. And, you know, Michael Wacha wasn't sharp, but he's still able to give you five innings of three-run baseball and overcome a first-inning error as his second baseman drops a pop-up. So you had a little bit of everything over the course of this three-game sweep of Washington, but I think what you've seen of late has been reflected in a majority of these 159 games already played.
Vern, maybe I missed it here, so I apologize. What's the status on Michael Lorenzen? Is he going to be okay? Have you heard anything?
Nothing today, but as far as yesterday, that was just a veteran, and he's one of those yoked dudes where you just know he knows his body inside and out. He's one of those muscle heads that you have to think knows everything that he ingests. So when he pulls himself out of the game yesterday, feeling that left hamstring getting a little bit tight, he does it not because he's banged up, but because he wants to save himself to come out of the bullpen in these final three games against the Atlanta Braves, make sure that he's available for next weekend or next week's wild card series. So listening to Michael Lorenzen, listening to Matt Quatrero earlier today, not all that concerned moving forward with Michael Lorenzen. Should be able to help this team moving forward.
forward.
We were just talking about this before you hopped on. If you had asked me 2-3 weeks ago, what's the Achilles heel for this team? I would have said the bullpen. Lucas Erceg was lights out over the last 3 days. Gave you 3 innings, didn't allow a hit, didn't walk anybody. He gave you 3 very, very clean innings where I've asked you, you know, if this team is up 5-4 heading into the 7th inning, what's the formula going to be? I mean, we can 100% rubber stamp it. Lucas Erceg, I think he can give you 2 innings. I mean, these were easy, carefree innings these last 3 days.
Yeah, without question. But 2-3 weeks ago, we knew that Lucas Erceg was the closer, was the big dog in that bullpen. The question was, and continues to be, everybody outside of Lucas Erceg, because I'm with you. Yeah, once tournament baseball starts, if the Royals make it there to the ALDS, yeah, I want to see Lucas Erceg pitch multiple innings every single game. Just like Wade Davis did, like Kelvin Herrera did, like Emmanuel Clase is going to do for Cleveland. Now, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the best of 3 wildcard series, it's going to be a tad bit more difficult to run a guy out there 3 days in a row and expect multiple innings out of him. Yeah, obviously encouraged with Erceg, but been encouraged by him really since he came to Kansas City. The question is everybody else? I still view the bullpen as the Achilles heel, to be quite honest. I mean, I mentioned it on the postgame show 2-3 weeks ago. To a man, to a woman, everyone in Kansas City said that it's already preordained that if the Royals, if and when they fall short in October, it's going to be because of that bullpen. Now, of late, some have started to sway and started to buy into what we've seen out of this bullpen of late, and understandably so. Angel Zerpa's retired 18 of the 19 that he's faced. John Schreiber spun 8 straight scoreless outings. Chris Bubich hasn't allowed an earned run in any of his last 9 appearances. You mentioned Lucas Erceg. We could talk about what Sam Long did just a night ago. Daniel Lynch hasn't allowed an earned run since he returned to the big leagues. Now, the bullpen's been outstanding. 30 consecutive scoreless innings. Now, they haven't had many leads over the course of that 30 consecutive scoreless innings, and they also aren't pitching in the postseason. And come the postseason, you're not facing this Washington Nationals offense that has been punchless for so very long. So as I look towards October and I say, what's the Achilles heel between the bullpen and the offense? Well, the offense has at least 2 superstars in Bobby and Salvi. The bullpen has what I hope becomes a superstar in Lucas Erceg. So I still lean towards the 2 superstar aspect of this team, and that is the offense. So I still have my questions about the bullpen. They've been good of late, but other than Lucas Erceg, who do I want to see in a big spot? See, now this is what I keep coming back to. When you go to Tuesday's game against Baltimore or Houston, Kyle Tucker, the all-star outfielder for the Astros, or Gunnar Henderson, the all-star shortstop for the Orioles. Let's say they have 4 at-bats in that game, 1 of the wildcard series, and let's say Cole Reagans is your starting pitcher. Who do you want facing Gunnar Henderson in those 4 at-bats? I'm still one that says I want Cole Reagans taking up the first 3. You know, normally in the postseason, you don't let your starting pitcher face the heart of the lineup 3 times. I'm still a believer that this team's going to be led by its rotation. So I want Reagans eating up 3 of those at-bats. Lucas Erceg can take the 4th. There might be some out there that say, hey, give Chris Bubich that 3rd battle with Kyle Tucker, or that 3rd battle with an Adley Rutschman or a Gunnar Henderson. I still lean towards Reagans, Lugo, and even a Michael Wacha. I'm still all in on the rotation being the reason why you're going to win, or the reason why you're ultimately going to fall short in October.
Right now we're talking to our guy Josh Furner. At least for me, I think their best case scenario is this team needs to clinch tomorrow. So Twins lose, the Royals have it clinched. Saturday, they don't have to worry about. Sunday, they don't have to worry about. They get their lineup in order. They get their bullpen in order. And then heading into Tuesday, you got Reagans.
So you don't care, though. But you don't care about 5 or 6 seed, then?
I mean,
Houston, Baltimore, you don't care. Just, I want Reagans in game 1, wherever it is.
to me, this team is at a like, to me, their best chance of winning. It doesn't matter if it's the
and
Orioles.
I'm not saying that's wrong if that's how you feel.
No, 100%. No, this team's best chance to win is they need the weekend off. You need three games to get an Urseg back right. You don't need Reagans to pitch on Sunday. And you got Tuesday, you got Reagans, and Reagans steals game one for you. And it doesn't matter if it's against the Orioles or against the Astros. All right, we have a one-game advantage here. We got two games to win one. You're right. Ideally, I would love for this team to play the Orioles. That's their best chance to advance if you were talking about a team. But their best chance to advance is a rested Reagans, a rested Urseg, a rested team heading into the wild card round.
Certainly a rested, well, certainly a an available Reagans for game one, an available Seth Lugo in game two, right? That's what they need. Because, you know, man, I can't argue with you. Whether it's in Baltimore, whether it's in Houston, Bobby Witt Jr. hits a home run in the first inning, and that stadium's going to get awfully tight. Maybe not so much in Houston, because I have to imagine their fans would understand falling short of the ALCS once this decade. But in Baltimore, after their lackluster approach at the deadline, with their late season collapse, really, you know, they had a chance of winning that American League East. But as you've noted, they've been playing really poor over the past 3 weeks. You go into Baltimore game one, Bobby and Salvi cause some damage in the first inning. That entire place is going to get very, very tight. That clubhouse, that dugout, you have to think on the home side is going to get, you know, start to pucker up. And then Cole Reagans can go out there and absolutely eat. You know what, for as much as I want the Royals to, you know, go for it down the stretch, try to get that five seed, I'd much rather face Baltimore than Houston. You know, it's the same thing that A.J. Hinch is tackling right now in Detroit. Do we use Tarek Skubal, or do we hold him back for game one coming up on Tuesday? I think they're leaning towards the latter. We'll see what happens tomorrow, right? It all is predicated on Brady Singer outdueling Max Fried, or Minnesota falling tonight and then falling tomorrow when the Royals can fall ass backwards into the postseason. I like the idea of using Reagans in game one, but I understand why the Royals can't come out and say anything other than Cole Reagans is our guy coming up in the finale on Sunday.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. The Royals, they won all three games this week against the Nationals. Their magic number right now is at two. If the Twins win or lose today, their magic number will be one. So they either need to win or the Twins need to lose, and they can make the postseason and lock that in tomorrow if everything falls together. Let me ask you this question about the offense. Based on what we saw the last couple of days, is there any chance that we are out on the other side of this thing? I mean, it was bad. I don't have to give you the numbers. They scored 5 runs in 60 innings not that long ago. But their offense looked good yesterday. Their offense looked viable today. Is there a chance that we are out on the other side of this slump?
Well, I'll say this. Tuesday, game one in Washington, it wasn't just a skid. Those dudes were pressing. Those guys were choking. I mean, it was infecting Yuli Gurriel. You were seeing Salvador Perez with some awful swings, and not your classic Salvi awful swings, but your, it was your 2018 Salvi, your 2023 Salvi, where if I don't do the damage, damage isn't going to be done. So yeah, buddy, I'm expanding. Tuesday was rough. Yesterday really didn't buoy my spirits all that much. You only scored 3 runs, with 2/3 of them coming off of Eduardo Salazar, who, I mean, this guy threw 8 pitches and gave up 3 rockets, gave up 2 runs. You did most of your damage against one bad Nationals reliever. But watching today, you know, I'm not seeing the same sort of pressing, gripping the tap. Outside of Freddie Fermin, Freddie still seems to be grinding in my mind, but big walk from MJ Melendez and Michael Massey in a big spot in the 9th inning, and then the vets do what they must do. The reason why a guy like Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham and Yuli Gurriel are on this team is for exactly what they did in big spots with runners in scoring position today. Frazier winning it in the 9th, Pham and Yuli putting the boys on the board in the 3rd. So up and down this lineup right now, Here's what you're going to need. If you're going to go on any sort of an elongated run come October, you need the threat of power. For as much as we talk about pitching as the currency of baseball, it certainly is, especially in the regular season. But when you get to that tournament ball where it's, again, Lucas Erceg throwing two innings, it's HDH each throwing two innings, what you need in October are guys with big fly potential, guys like a Jorge Soler and a Adolis Garcia, guys that can, a Christian Walker, guys that we saw go off last year in the postseason. You need someone that can change the game with one swing of the bat. Obviously, Bobby and Salvi can do that. You need Massey, MJ, Renfro. You need some more power threats to emerge over the course of these final three games. Hopefully that happens against Fried, Sale, and whoever else you possibly face this weekend with the Braves.
Vern, what changed with the Tigers? Because this team was 10 games back of Kansas City, and now they look like the hottest team in baseball where, I mean, the comparisons are starting to be made. It feels like they are the 2014 Royals, that they got hot at the absolute right time, and there is not a team in the American League that wants to play them.
Yeah, honestly, I think they have a deeper pitching staff than the 2014 Royals. Certainly a deeper bullpen than the 2014 Royals. They didn't have, 2014 didn't have the Cy Young Award winner in Tarek Skubal. But he's been great all year. What changed, in my opinion, watching him, is A, the execution from the bullpen. They have just been they've been the best in baseball here in the month of September. Now, don't sleep on the Royals, of course. Royals have been top 10 in Major League Baseball in the month of September when it comes to the bullpen. But Javi Baez, no longer with the team, no longer in the lineup, and you're seeing AJ Hinch. Just everything he does is working. They're doing a lot like what Matt Quatrero and the Royals and the Rays and what these small market teams have done over the past decade, and that is using everyone on your bench, riding the platoons, riding leverage, using 4, 5, 6, 7 different pitchers, bullpenning. You know, what you're seeing from Detroit is what you've seen for the past decade and a half from Tampa, what the Royals are likely to be moving forward, a team that's using all 14, 15 position players, using a majority of your bullpen arms, and the players are going out there and executing. So I think A.J. Hinch deserves certainly a large amount of credit for putting the guy in the right spots, also given that dugout, given that bullpen enough confidence that those guys are excited about their late-game roles, about their pitch-hitting situations, about their limited opportunities out of the bullpen. It's the exact same thing that Matt Quatrero has done, right? Dairon Blanco excited to be that pinch runner. Adam Frazier excited to come off the bench for a big pinch-hit situation. John Schreiber, Angel Zerpa, ready to take the ball when called upon. So what you're seeing A.J. Hinch do of late really is what Matt Quatrero's been doing all season. AJ's relievers are just executing at a much higher clip than the Royals relievers really ever have.
Last question, Vernon. We appreciate your time. What's the status of Vinny? I saw that he was taking batting practice. Is there any chance that he could go in the wild card series?
You hate to say that there's no chance, but, man, there's... And then starting on Tuesday, that would be, and you hate putting a ceiling on a professional athlete, because to go from an 11th round pick to a big leaguer to a guy that's still top 10 in the American League in RBI speaks to his tenacity and his work ethic and his determination. I'm not expecting to see Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup taking a big at bat until the ALCS at the earliest. But that gets the boys going. Right, that gets Vinny going, that gets everybody in that clubhouse going. It obviously has gotten the city going. I like the move. Bring him on the field. Let's take some BP on the field. Let's get it out there. Let's get the boys going. If you can hold up your end of the bargain, your number three hitter will return. That's a nice little boost, a la Kyle Schwarber back in the day for the 2016 Cubs.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. He is our Royals insider. The Royals, their magic number is 2, it would appear. I feel very confident the Royals are going to the postseason. Thank you, Vern.
Say it with your chest, man.
The Royals are going to the postseason, Vern.
My man. I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. All right, let me explain this magic number thing for some of you that don't know. I just want to explain it because maybe you don't know. That's why I'm here to help you. Because magic number really isn't something we talk about in football, you know? Don't really talk about it a lot in basketball. It's more of a baseball thing. This is the magic number. The combination of Royals wins and Twins losses has to add up to two or better. That's their magic number in two. So the Royals could win two games, and then it doesn't matter what the Twins do. They could win all of their games because they won at least two games. The Royals could lose their next two games. As long as the Twins' losses equal two or greater, the Royals will make the postseason. So it is a combination of Royals wins and Twins losses from now until the end of the season. That number has to equal two. If it is less than two, the Royals are in trouble. They're in trouble. I mean, something went terribly wrong. And then the Twins got piping hot down the stretch. So they don't even need the Twins to do anything. They could just win two of these next games against the Braves, and it does not matter at all what the Twins do because they got two more wins. Or tomorrow, I guess they could also today, the Twins could lose. So going into tomorrow, if the Royals win tomorrow, if the Twins lose tonight, the Royals will go into a situation tomorrow against the Braves, we hope. Don't know what the weather's going to be. Where if they win tomorrow, they're in the postseason. That is the magic number explained as simply as I can. Now, the Royals do not have the tiebreaker against the Twins, so that is important to note. If the Royals and the Twins have the same record, then the Royals are not going to the postseason. But that would only happen if the wins and losses does not equal two or greater for the Royals. So I hope I explained that. That's the best way that I can explain it. Some combination of Royals wins and Twins losses have to equal two or more over the next 3 days. And as long as that happens, the Royals will make the postseason.
By the way, I'm seeing a lot of this on the text line. First and foremost, Tigers don't affect the magic number.
Really quick, I just want to also say with the Tigers, stop worrying about the Tigers. I don't know what to tell you guys. I know that doesn't sound good. The Tigers are making the postseason. The Tigers have the White Sox the rest of the way, and they have been the hottest team in baseball over the course of the last couple of weeks. So I get it. I understand why you would want to ask questions about the Tigers, and it is now definitive with the Mariners being eliminated from the postseason. There are three teams fighting for two spots: the Tigers, the Royals, and the Twins. Now, you guys have been following this enough to know which one of those teams, of those three teams, do we know is 100% getting a spot? That's the Tigers. Their magic number is also two. I'm going to guess they're going to just win two of their next three games. They got the White Sox. They're just going to go ahead and do the winning thing. I believe those games are at home, too. They're in Detroit.
That's my belief as well.
Yeah. So we've seen enough White Sox baseball to know they are not going on the road and winning two out of three against the Tigers. So I would not worry about the Tigers. Stop thinking about the Tigers.
The good news about the Tigers, and I agree with you, is if the Royals just keep winning, the Royals will keep the Tigers behind them. If both teams win out, it is impossible for the Tigers to pass the Royals. So if you want an optimism meter
there, it is far more likely that the Royals lose one of their next 3 days than the Tigers.
100%.
Based on opponent and quality of playing right now.
I mean, the White Sox are certainly the hottest team in baseball. They're on a three-game winning streak.
Okay, well, they're not hotter than the Tigers.
White hot. See what I mean?
They're not hot. The Tigers were 10 games back on August 11th. That is it.
I'll say this about, I'm getting a lot of this on the text line. Well, you guys think the Orioles are going to lay down this weekend against the Twins because they have the postseason locked up. Here's the other thing about the Tigers, about them being red hot. If the Orioles lose the Yankees today, the Tigers can catch the Orioles. Like, that can happen.
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, the Tigers being red hot has kept the Orioles' interest going. And if they lose in New York tonight, which it's New York, that can easily happen. They are facing three games with the Twins where they cannot lay down because they could feasibly lose the number one wild card spot, which would dramatically change the calculus for the Orioles. So I have no fear of them laying down this weekend against the Twins.
Okay, two questions on the text line. CDOT, what happens if they can't play in Atlanta because of the hurricane? I do not have the answer to that. I wish that I had an answer to it. I do not know what's going to happen in Atlanta. They have already decided that they're going to have a doubleheader on Monday against the Mets. I don't know what the plan is this weekend if they're unable to play in Atlanta because of the hurricane. I would guess that they try to find a neutral site to play these games. That's what I would guess. They are not playing those games in Kansas City. You cannot give Kansas City extra home games at this point, given how close the race is. You cannot do that.
The Braves race, too. I mean, it would affect both teams 100%. Equally, yes.
You cannot do that. So I don't believe those games to be at Kansas City, but I don't know definitively. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, what if the Twins stun everyone and win? Anything is possible. It is any combination that equals two of Royals wins and Twins losses. Any combination. So if the Twins win their remaining four games, the Royals then need to win two of their next three games, and they are in the postseason. I hope that answers your questions. I've done my absolute best to answer all of your questions, but that is the answer. So, yes, the Royals don't even need the Twins' help, really. Just win two of three against the Braves. If you do that, you're 100% in. You don't need to worry about anybody else. Take care of your business. You did that against the Nationals. Do that against the Braves. But if you lose one of those games, you need the Twins to lose one too, and you'll be perfectly fine. All right, coming up on the other side, speaking of the Twins, we're going to go back to Minneapolis. We're going to be joined by Henry Lake. We'll get his thoughts on the Twins that have been free-falling. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by our guy, Henry Lake. He is in Minnesota. He covers all things Minnesota sports. Lake, how you doing today, my man?
I've been better. I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. I got no complaints.
Well, you know what? The Twins could certainly be doing better. What happened to the Twins, man?
Man, this team can't hit. They can't hit to save their lives. I don't even know what's past the struggle bus. They just can't offensively. You know, the first half of the season, they were inconsistent, right? I remember years ago when Josh Fernie would talk about the roller coaster with the Kansas City Royals. They were inconsistent on the roller coaster the first half of the season, and the second half of the season, the bottom dropped out. It hasn't been good. And look, I know that Twins fans will look and they'll say, well, you know, Buxton injured again. What's new? Carlos Correa, him being out of lineup the majority of the second half of the season, that was a killer, you know, because he has far and away been their best player, and just not having him available has really hurt this team, not just offensively, but also defensively, but nobody else has hit at all.
Yeah, we had Dan Hayes on the show earlier today, and you could just hear the sort of disappointment in his voice and just the fact that, you know, your energy usually kind of coincides with the team that you are following. It really sounds like this Twins team has really been beaten down over the course of the last 3 weeks, and it sounds like the fan base is ready to move on. The Vikings are one of the top stories in the NFL, and basketball season is about to start, and you guys have one of the young stars in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the fan base is checked out. Look, you know this because I've said this to you many times when I was in Kansas City. Minnesota is the bandwagon state. They are not ride or die with their teams. When their teams are doing really, really well, everybody is all about that team. But when they are struggling, everybody's jumping off. And I was at the game last night. I'm headed to the stadium here in a few minutes. There's nobody showing up to support this team right now. Even though, you know, you're going to have a hope and a prayer that maybe something happens here at the end with the Tigers, which I don't see happening. Maybe something happens with the Kansas City Royals, which I don't see happening. I think you're going to be on the outside looking in. But it's all your fault. Like, you were in prime position to head into the postseason and easily, right, and basically contend with the Guardians to win this division again. But it just wasn't going to happen because you just haven't been able to hit. But, yes, to answer your question, yeah, everybody is deflated. Everybody's frustrated. And you could even tell a couple of nights ago, because they won last night against the Marlins, but on Tuesday when they lost the opening game of this series to the Miami Marlins, you could just tell right around that fifth or sixth inning when they couldn't generate anything, which runners in scoring position, they haven't been able to do anything at all this entire season. You could tell that the guys in the lineup were absolutely frustrated and deflated.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Henry Lake, just learning a little bit more about the Twins. Lake, was there a turning point for this team? Like with the Royals, the Vinny Pasquantino injury now was a really big turn for this team offensively. They really struggled to score since then. Was there that moment for the Twins?
No, I can't really say that. I can't make any real excuses. Now, clearly not having Carlos Correa, because remember, now he made the All-Star game, but he didn't play at all in the second half of the season until last week. That was the first game that Carlos Correa came back, was just early last week. So he literally has just returned since prior to the All-Star break. Not having him, that has been this had clearly a negative effect on the team. But I can't look at anybody else and make any other excuses. Like Byron Buxton, it's not the first time that he's been injured, and it won't be the last. Other guys in the lineup, some of the young guys that have actually, you know, fared decent this year, Trevor Larnick, I think he's kind of upped his game this year. Some of the other veterans, you know, Ryan Jeffers has had a good second half of the season. Christian Vasquez, catcher, has had a terrible time that he's been a member of this organization. Everybody else has not really played that well. I think the only guy that you look at and you say this guy has exceeded their expectations here for the Minnesota Twins has been Carlos Santana. He's been that one guy. Royce Lewis, his performance in the second half, he's been non-existent. The one thing about the Twins here this season that you could say they've been good is their starting rotation, because most people thought that that was going to be the area where they lacked. You lose Sonny Gray, you lose Kenta Maeda, everybody believes the starting rotation is going to be negatively impacted, and that has not been the case. Now, it's been spotty with the young guys they've had starting, but they've been solid enough to win games. The bullpen, they haven't been good as well. So between the bullpen being bad and the everyday lineup being bad, that's the reality of Twins baseball right now.
Like, what do you make of the Tigers, who have been the hottest team in baseball? I mean, I'm guessing in Minnesota is kind of the same thing here as it was in Kansas City. We weren't really spending too much time talking about the Tigers. A lot of the conversation was about your team, the Twins. The Royals and the Twins felt very neck and neck for most of the season. And then out of nowhere, you look up, the Tigers sweep the Royals in Kansas City, and it's like, wait, hold on, we might have to insert them into the conversation, and it feels like they haven't lost since.
Well, you know how this plays out in sports, right? You know, you have that team that's the underdog, and they're in that game against the team that's heavily favored. But this team starts off good, and they've got a lead. And then the favored team, or the team that everybody expects is going to crush, they're just kind of like, they're not kicking in. And that team that is the underdog is starting to believe in themselves. To me, the Detroit Tigers has got confidence in themselves. They say, you know what, we honestly believe that we got a chance to do something special and make it into the postseason when nobody thinks that we're going to get there. And you could just tell that they believed, and they knew that they have a Cy Young award winning pitcher in their rotation. And so I think that's all that happened with the Detroit Tigers, and they're young.
That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today. Lake, I hate to assume, but it doesn't sound like you're very hopeful in the Twins' chances on making the postseason.
No. I believe that the Twins will miss out on the postseason. I believe that in the postseason, I'll be rooting for you guys in Kansas City, and hopefully you guys can represent.
That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today. Appreciate you, Lake.
All right, take care.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today. I mean, the thing that I have learned the most is Royals fans and Twins fans, they got one thing in common. Boy, hope is low. Now, hope is definitely higher in Kansas City. You're the team that's coming off the sweep. So the morale is, I would say, the morale is back to normal in Kansas City. Royals fans always have that measure of skepticism and disbelief about things that is certainly continued. But I would say that things are back realigned with where they were before the Giants series. The Giants series was the low point of the season. They've had a couple of different low points, the Vinny injury. They've had a couple of different things. Man, them getting swept at home by the Giants and only scoring run. Monday was a bad day. Monday was a down day for everybody. But you know what? They did what they were supposed to do. They won these last three games. They're coming in hopeful. They're coming in optimistic. And you know what? It feels like everybody is back to normal, back to where they were, I don't know, last Thursday or so.
It does feel like nature is healing, but I'm still seeing, maybe I'm just too much of a positive person, and that's just the nature of the beast, but there is a lot of skepticism around Royals fans. The magic number being 2, and potentially 1 by the time we take the air tomorrow, because I like the Twins beating the Marlins is some guarantee, even though, for those of you that gamble, they are -250 tonight to win a baseball game, which is one of the higher favorites you'll ever see. But the magic number being at 2 and the Twins facing a playoff team has got to give people a measure of confidence. I know that if the Royals game does get played tomorrow in Atlanta, Max Fried is starting, but and he's one of the better pitchers in baseball. But it's that time of year where you're going to face good pitchers. I remain confident, and my confidence, while shaken after the Giants series, remains strong because the Twins have been horrible. Any time you thought to yourself, man, the Royals are starting to flounder, you look at the Twins, and they were worse. Before this last seven-game losing streak, the seven-game losing streak previous, you know who came in town to help the Royals get off the schneid? The Twins. They are playing some really bad baseball, so part of my confidence, not just the Royals have picked it up and started beating bad teams, it's the fact the Twins have been unable to pick it up.
Coming up on the other side, we'll keep it with baseball. Today was the last baseball game in the Oakland Coliseum. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I had the Oakland A's game on today just to watch it. I got a chance to go out to their stadium a couple of weeks ago. I saw them play the Milwaukee Brewers, and let me tell you that attendance was scarce. Certainly not the case for today. It was their last home game, the last professional sports game in Oakland. You guys know that the Raiders, they have moved to Las Vegas. The basketball team has moved across the bridge to San Francisco. You would think it's not that far away, and it's kind of far away. Like it ain't close to where it used to be before. And now the baseball team, they are going to play in Sacramento for the next couple of seasons, and we'll see what happens in Las Vegas. If you've been to Las Vegas, you know exactly where I'm talking about. The Tropicana, right across the street from the MGM Grand. They are imploding that building coming up in a couple of days, and the plan is to build the baseball stadium right across the street from the MGM Grand. But they don't have the money figured out. Like, how are they going to pay for the stadium? I imagine if you go to Vegas, you are going to be paying for the stadium. That's kind of how these things work. If you've been to Vegas, you're already paying for Allegiant Stadium. They're just going to have you now pay for that stadium as well. But just really sad for, I would say, a very important community in American culture. Like, a lot of things have been birthed out of Oakland, California, and for them to lose so much of their identity in a very short period of time. I mean, they have lost their basketball team, football team, and baseball team in, what, 8 years? Is that probably the timetable of it? Baseball team out of here. They've been in Vegas playing football for a little bit. They have built a beautiful new stadium across the river over in San Francisco. A lot has been taken away from that community in a very, very short period of time. The scenery today was amazing. They got 46,000 people out to the Coliseum to see the final game, and all those people are going home happy. The A's won earlier today. They won 3-2 against the Texas Rangers, so it was cool to get a chance to watch that. But just really sad what happened to Oakland, man. And it shouldn't have gone that way for that community. There were ways to fix it, and no one in power seemed very interested in fixing it.
I understand how John Sherman has sometimes gotten a bad rep in Kansas City as being the guy who just trying to take your money and get a new stadium, et cetera, et cetera. But there might not be a worse owner in sports than the A's owner. He has been angling to get that team out of Oakland forever.
100%.
And it was more than just, you know, tanking the team on the field, which he was also doing to drive down attendance. But he didn't get any legislation on the ballot to try to get, you know, a new stadium done. He turned down ideas, to my knowledge, of possible renovations to a stadium. He kept throwing out new and improved areas for a new stadium, which included San Jose, which anyone familiar with the Bay Area knows that San Jose and Oakland are not like, it's not like you're moving from Casey Moe to, you know, the Northland. That's like moving from Casey Moe to Topeka. Like, it is a hike from San Jose because of traffic and all those things. Ownership in Oakland is real bad. And today, that community took an L, and it stinks for everyone, and the owner's going to get his way, but that it's a brutal, brutal business sometimes.
Yeah, no, 100%. So today was the final game for the Oakland A's. So we will see what happens to them.
Do you think sports are ever going back to Oakland?
No.
They don't have the NFL. They don't have baseball. They don't have basketball. You don't think they're ever going back?
I don't think they can get a stadium pass. I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, they couldn't get a stadium pass for three separate teams. If you can't get a stadium pass, I mean, the only way you're getting it is if you're paying for the fourth stadium. Now, they never really got the opportunity to keep the baseball team. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happened behind the scenes, but they never really got an opportunity to vote if they wanted to keep their baseball team. That owner, it was really like Major League. They were always angling to go to Las Vegas, and eventually they rounded up the money, they rounded up enough votes, and they figured out a way to get that team to Las Vegas. Tonight, we got Thursday Night Football. We have the Giants and the Cowboys.
You're going to watch that? Or you gonna
I'm
do something
so
else?
Tired of watching Giants-Cowboys games. I'm serious. I'm tired of it. Every year, it doesn't matter how good either one of the teams are, we are always going to get Giants and Cowboys as a national TV game. I mean, it'll be on, but I'm not watching it. I'm not building my day, my evening around watching those two teams. Absolutely not. I'll place a couple of wagers. I'm not going to go too crazy on this game. I don't want to go too crazy on this game. I'll place a couple touchdown bets. I'll have it on as background noise, but no, I'm watching a movie today. I'd rather watch a couple. There's new documentaries out. I'd much rather start the Mr. McMahon documentary that's on Netflix. I'd much rather watch the Black Quarterback documentary that's on Amazon Prime. There's too much other stuff to watch. I don't want to watch Daniel Jones play quarterback anymore. I'm sorry. It doesn't excite me.
Does that offense in Dallas excite you? I mean, they've quietly been a disappointment so far this NFL season. I know the Giants are worse, but I mean, it's not like Dallas is something like, oh, at least I get to watch Dallas. They're not exciting at all to watch anymore this season.
No, I'm not excited to watch any of those teams.
That whole division stinks, if we're being honest. The Commanders might be the most exciting team.
The Commanders are fun.
They're fun.
The Eagles are fun. The Eagles are fun to watch.
They're like a chaotic fun.
I agree. No, they're fun to watch, though. I do enjoy watching the Eagles. I'm with you.
It's like a frantic energy. It's like, how is this happening?
Someone said, see, I'll be watching the Twins, the Aaron Hernandez show on Hulu is solid, too. I'm going to let the Aaron Hernandez show in before I watch it. I'm just too familiar with the story. I'm just too familiar with the story to catch it. Someone said, damn, C-Dot, you live in Missouri. How are you placing bets? I thought you lived in KC proper. I'm currently in Kansas. You could place the bets now and then go home. I know. It blew my mind, too. Yeah, no, it's crazy. But right now, I can place the bets that I think Brandon Cooks is going to score a touchdown. And then I drive home and then I can't place the bet. Then I can just track the bets. That's kind of how it works.
You're telling me the bet doesn't become null and void the minute you cross state line?
Yeah, I know. It's wild. I know. It's crazy. Technology's weird, man. I'm telling you. It blows my mind, too. So that's why I'm here to help. I don't want there to be any uncertainty. I'm here to answer questions. All right. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you had a lot of fun today. I'm sorry we didn't talk as much football as maybe you would like, but the Royals are going to the postseason, so hopefully you understood. Tomorrow, we will get back to normal. We will get back to Red Friday. We will get back to Chiefs and Chargers. I will probably say one positive thing about the Chargers. You guys will call me Chargers Dot. You know what? We will all be back together tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.